Let's go study the horror of great darkness. Not the horror of great darkness, but the horror of great darkness. Oh, come on, Harry. Nice way to start a Bible study. It's on. We got Harry in there forever. Genesis chapter 18, or 15, verse 18. We got our watch cat and our watchdog out there. So I thought you weren't going to be here.
For me?
Yeah.
No, John.
You can sit here next to me. See, nobody will sit with me. When I come in here and eat, if I sit at this table, nobody will sit with me. They don't like me. They hurt my feelings all the time. What are you doing now, Ronnie? Huh? Okay, Genesis 15, starting in verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also a nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall I come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The question is, what did Abraham see in that horror of great darkness? He certainly saw, because it tells us that his progeny would be in a land, held bondage in the land for 400 years, or someplace it says 430 years, but I believe he saw a lot more. Let's go to Luke 4. Where's Luke? There you are. I need a new Bible. Huh? Don't go there? But it doesn't feel the same. God, what a disgusting group of people. This is the fruit of 30 years of labor in the fields. I've been well paid. Yeah. I didn't hear. What did he say?
You're lucky to have one.
I've tried to kick you out.
Surely isn't where I planned on ending up.
You planned on being. What's his name? No, I know, but what's the guy's name that's your hero that we met with?
Oh, Stan Richards.
Stan Richards. This is the temptation of Christ in the wilderness after his baptism. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And it says, he was being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now, if we read that the way it sounds, and then we've got this guy appearing in whatever form we think, he's a red guy with horns and a pitchfork and a tail.
A pointy tail.
But he appeared to Jesus as Jesus, who was the mind of Christ. In the same way that the serpent appeared to Adam and Eve, it wasn't a talking serpent. That was a parable. It was their mind that was talking to them. It was Eve's mind that was talking to her. And it was the mind, as Son of Man, it was the mind of Christ that was talking to him. And there's this incredible, I won't read all of what the temptation is because we've done that so many times. But we want to go to one place in verse 4. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And Jesus didn't deny that all of that power was given unto him. He just said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, you got to hear this. Jesus called the Jews that believe on him in John 8:31. I mean, that's where it's through 44. It says, you are of your father, the devil. Satan became the father of the human race vis-a-vis the fall. You've got to hear that. You've got to understand that. And that is what I believe that Abraham saw in the horror of great darkness. He saw everything that we read and study in Melito of Sardi at Passover. He saw the inheritance of man as murder and strife and brother killing brother and woman killing the woman, her child in her womb, and eating of their own flesh and fornication and adultery and all the horrible sins of the world. Abraham saw as the horror of great darkness. But Christ saw that. He saw what he was tempted with, because there it says, in a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. It wasn't just the kingdoms that existed then. It was the kingdoms that existed in all of the world. And Satan tried to get by with showing him the glory thereof. But Jesus saw the same thing that Abraham did in the horror of great darkness. And he saw the same thing that you must see in the horror of great darkness. And you, just as Christ said, get thee be, whenever your mind starts to speak, you must say, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, the Lord only will I worship or give breath to, and him only will I serve. Now, we've made this mystery of Christ into a fairy tale, with caricatures and cartoon characters, in order to divorce it from the reality of what happens on a second-by-second basis in your mind. The voices that are in your mind are clearly the same voices that Christ rejected.
And Abraham saw the fruit of listening to those voices and saw the horror of great darkness. Anybody understand this?
He confronted his, the temptation for him to, with the snap of his fingers, remove all hunger, with a snap of his fingers, remove all poverty, with a snap of his fingers, to remove all sickness. Do you understand? To remove all ugliness. Oh, then all of us would have been gone. Never mind. Can you see where the battlefield is? Can you see why your mind is enmity against God? It has always been. It has been since the fall. It has been in the Garden of Eden. It has been in the temptation of Christ. It's enmity. Enmity is a word that's so strong that if I had enmity against Kevin, that means one of us would have to die. Your mind is so incredibly evil that even the best thing that it can do is still serving itself. And you try, this is cursed. You try with Cain to keep digging around and planting new seeds in order to have some offering that's going to be acceptable unto God. And you're convinced that the things that you want to do are what God wants you to do. And it's a lie. And when the gospel was preached, it was preached according to Colossians, according to Paul, in a couple places, not in many places, that it was preached to every creature under heaven. It doesn't mean it was talked about, it was declared, it was revealed. And the things that can be known of God are revealed in the things that He has made. And so man is without excuse in continuing to believe his own mind. Any intellectual integrity will cause you to see the horror of great darkness, unless you've got your blinders on. Well, this is why. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians in a minute. It's right after Colossians, in case that helps you. Paul is talking about his experiences at Philippi, and he says, "For our exhortation, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. Neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." The operative phrase is, "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but of pleasing God, which is the one that trieth our hearts." Don't you see by now that anything that is spoken from God that pleases men cannot be of God? Let's go to Galatians and see it again. Verse 6, chapter 1. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Do you understand why Abraham had to experience the horror of great darkness? Why Christ had to be tempted with the glory that all men are now preaching, but at the same time rejected because he saw the horror of great darkness along with the glory?
Let's go to Luke chapter 16, I think. Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now you know that mammon, it isn't money. It's a Chaldean word meaning anything that you have confidence in. Anything that you trust in. It can be your mind, your talents, your looks. Well, we don't have to worry about that here. Your money, well, we don't have to worry about that here. Well, I don't know about these guys.
About to narrow it down.
You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all of these things. And they derided him. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God.
If anything that you want is something that they want, you can bet it's an abomination unto God. If anything that you esteem is what they esteem, that's why we do not fear what they fear, we do not esteem what they esteem, we do not like what they like. We are not of this world. Now think about it. Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. The horror of great darkness proves it. Now, there's this weird saying with the horror of great darkness. It says that you're going to... He saw that you're going to serve, you're going to be in a land that is not yours. He's talking to the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. It's talking to Christ in you. You're going to be in a land that is apparently not yours because it's all controlled by this other thing up here, this snake. For 400 years until the sin of the Amorites is complete. What the hell does that mean? It means until you see that all of the efforts of this thing up here end up in nothingness, you will continue to serve this thing up here instead of He who alone is our life. Am I communicating?
I just had a thought about how powerful this whole concept is, because even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has to go out in the desert and fast for 40 days before he confronts this entity. So it's like it's no small...
No, the subtlety of it is mind-blowing. Yeah. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can you see why you must accept this mystery that you abandon yourself, that you take no thought for yourself or about yourself? No, it's risky. Because it's the only way you can live if you take no thought of or about or for you, and if you lean not on your own arm of understanding, you have to live in faith. What an incredible thing. If anything I say is pleasing to men, I can't be the servant of Christ. If anything I say isn't true in every circumstance, in every time, in every place, it can't be truth. What a weird thing. Can you see why the gospel, it's good news to God? It's the gospel of God, but it's the worst news that the human race can hear. Can you see why, if you don't understand this, or if, as we were talking the other day, if you take this and you sort of change the words and make them so men can understand it, that the power will be taken out of the Scriptures in the name of understanding? Can you see now why Paul said the gospel was preached unto Abraham? Why Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad? When did he see his day? He saw his day in the horror of great darkness. And if you can hear this, then you will stop relying on any of your talents. You will stop believing any voices that come from here in your own Sanhedrin. And you will start knowing that you owe your emotions and your mind absolutely nothing. And you will live by His power, by His strength, because you have purposed, by doing that, you purposed your own weakness. There's no other way. There's no other gospel. There's no other truth. He alone is truth. He's never going to show you the truth. He doesn't need your help. In fact, the slightest attempt to help will cause him to retreat. What a concept. What a mystery. But you can't know that. You can't know this until you have failed. You can't know this fully until you have totally come to the end of yourself. But you keep, how many times? I mean, you've already come to the end of yourself innumerable times. But you think it righteous to get up and dust yourself off and continue. That's heroic. No, it's stupid. It's not heroic. And if you don't know this, if you don't see it, if it's not complete, if you haven't experienced the horror of great darkness, to know the futility of your own efforts, then you got to go do it. If you can't experience it by empathy of what others here have experienced. But it'll keep you from hearing all these other idiotic voices out there. It'll keep you from bouncing up and down in depression and not depressed and feel bad and feel good. It'll keep you anchored in truth.
in peace, in love, in joy. Amen? Anybody have any additions to the tale? Expansions on?
I was thinking about the guy from Canada that does the experiments with the dark room, and they stimulate parts of the brain, and you have visions of God. It shows me that the mind is able to actually imagine what God is like. Once I do that, then I can imagine that God would bless this effort or that effort, or God wants me to do this. So that it's interesting that God would create a mind that could essentially masquerade itself, I guess, as an angel of light.
That's exactly right.
That's the test.
And that's what happens. That's why the test of the, whether it's the Holy Spirit or some other spirit is that, number one, the Holy Spirit never needs crowds. He never needs music. He never needs lighting. He'll never put his eyes on you, or your eyes on you. I mean, what the people today call the anointing is a joke. The word anointing means Christing. It's another Christ they're preaching. And it's funny. The world sees the phony Christ better than the Christians do. Anything else? Why? Why are you smiling? Are you making fun of me? Are you standing up to me?
And it
comes with the territory. That's what it does. It's usually Josanna that's mocking me. Martin? Can you say amen?
Amen.
You understand that's a trick.
I didn't say it the first time. I had to digest it.
No, it's incredible. I mean, it's incredibly good news if you know your own. If you know yourself. Alex, what do you think? Does it make any sense to you? Alex just got here.
We know how you feel.
Eric was telling me yesterday, boy, I've always really screwed our lives up.
Screwed my own up.
Yeah.
All righty. So, who's going to the store?
Who's on first?
So you're going to go to the store and take me to the doctor. What if you get... What are you and Ronnie going to go to the store? Or just you?
Just going to Menards to get some
stuff. Okay. All righty. Take it, big guy.